correct. If you want to participate today, the number is 844-967-2789. Back to my little town. I remember that we had this this really cool-looking school, or home, I should say. It was a home for troubled youth or youth from broken families, right? It was called the Martin Luther Home. And they had this, I mean, it was like a castle almost. And they had a men's facility, and or a boys, I should say, and a girls, because they were all minors. And some of them, you know, they go to high school. And we had this guy, Benny Shelley. He was the only black guy that anybody'd seen, I guess, for most of these people, right? And he was on the football team. So he was okay. You see, they didn't have a problem with him. But then a few years later, or was it earlier? Well, I can't remember. It was when I was pretty young. But there was a family that moved into town, and they were on Main Street. And they weren't even there 3 days. And somebody came and broke their windows and threw rocks. And they left. So, yeah, when you call my show and say we didn't grow up racist, don't be including me in your crowd. If you're not doing anything to stop it, or if you're an adult now and you still believe those things, you grew up racist, man. I gotta, you know, this is just really disturbing, this GOP bill that they want to make it harder for people to get out of jail with bail and things. Let's just, the critics say that the legislation would deepen racial disparities in the system. We already know that Dane County, per capita, houses more brown people than any other jail in the country. How you feeling, Wisconsin? So you add in the attacks at the beginning of, you know, Black History Month, Alberta Darling, you know, we got to destroy the Milwaukee Metropolitan School District. Yeah, you know, because they're the people that care about families and children, right? The guy that drops out of the race because, you know, he didn't think it was any problem saying that he didn't want Milwaukee to be a shanty town. Okay, so this new bill here. A bill in the state legislature that could strip away the parental rights of some people in prison continues to provoke opposition from family advocates despite an effort to narrow the situations under which inmates could lose their rights. The Republican-sponsored legislation allows for courts to use a person's incarceration status or likelihood of being behind bars. Likelihood, of course, in the system we have, yes. In proceedings seeking to terminate a person's parental rights. Critics include the Department of Children and Families, the Ho-Chunk Nation, and state social workers say the bill is a departure from long-established rules for taking away parental rights that would deepen racial disparities in the criminal justice system. In response to those critiques, sponsors amended the bill last month, outlining the types of crimes and other conditions that would trigger eligibility for losing parental rights. Currently, incarceration status is one of many factors courts weigh in determining whether to strip someone of parental rights. This kind of a roadmap for the courts, right now they don't have that. Senator Dewey Strobel of Saukville, a co-sponsor of the bill SB 595, said at a hearing on the proposed amendment Wednesday. Under the amendment, only those who meet all the following requirements would be eligible to lose parental rights. The child is 14 years or old or younger at the time of a petition to terminate parental rights is filed. The parent has failed to maintain a parental relationship with the child because all the Republican legislators haven't done that with their children. The person has been convicted of certain crimes against children or crimes against life. What? Hold on, I'm turning the page here. And bodily security, which includes offenses ranging from homicide and sexual assault to witness intimidation and violating court orders. The person will be incarcerated for more than 50% of the child's first 18 years. The amendment did nothing to assuage critics' opposition to the bill. DCF, which has lobbied against the bill, has said it could violate children's rights to familial association. The agency also calls the bill redundant, since incarceration is already a factor weighed by authorities in parental rights proceedings, along with abandonment, abuse, incest, and failure to assume parental responsibility. Now, again, this is them coming up with a cure in search of a problem. I think the problem is that we just, you know, too easily incarcerate people that are not white. It's been that way. Here's another co-sponsor of the bill. Representative Barbara Dietrich, Republican from Oconomowoc, said the amended legislation was introduced after talks with groups like the State Bar of Wisconsin, which supports the measure. The point is not to break up families, Dietrich said in an interview. Really? If we have a parent that's incarcerated and has no interest in the child, and the child's in a situation that needs permanency, we want the child to have the hope of stability and permanency in a stable home. Okay, so we're talking about parents in prison. I want to talk about legislators' children that are in prison. And why would Dietrich of anybody be on this? We should be talking about how are we going to keep people from committing these crimes, right? So instead, Dietrich has a daughter. And I don't know if you guys remember this. She's like 17 or 18 years old. And she's driving down the road. And they get into it with another car. And she points a gun at him. Cops get called. They pull the car over. It's a pound of weed, a gun, and a bunch of vapes, THC vapes. I don't have a problem with marijuana or THC vapes. And if it was legal, Dietrich, your daughter maybe wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But why would you open your mouth about people being incarcerated and losing parental rights? Maybe you should lose your parental rights because your child's in prison and can't seem to get it together. Another one was John Nygren's daughter. You know, had a drug abuse problem. John's way of dealing with it, I guess, you know, I've heard was, so, you know, he kicks his daughter out of the home, and his wife and daughter end up going to a shelter. John doesn't like it when I talk about it. I'm not lying, right? A few years later, oh, he must have got his relationship with his daughter back, and she's trying to live a clean life, and he announces a bill that'll make it easier for EMTs and emergency people to revive people that have overdosed. Brings her in, everybody's clapping and cheering, and I'm sitting there thinking, for some reason, you know, watching him over the years, that he's using his daughter for this. Turns out a few months later, daughter falls off the wagon, whatever, and gives a lethal dose with fentanyl to a woman that was pregnant, and the two are dead. I'm just wondering, why are you guys always so quick to point out everybody else's children? You can't even keep yours in line. And why? What led your child to be the way that they are? Is it the parents' fault? Is it your fault? Yeah, maybe you guys should just, you know, take care of your own inventory instead of taking everybody else's inventory and always trying to create images of problems that need to be fixed where there aren't any. We got all kinds of problems with our judicial system and our jail and prison system for profit. Guys didn't care about Rittenhouse coming up with an assault rifle, man, and just killing people. But we got people in jail for possession of marijuana. I never had to go to jail for possession of marijuana. I guess I'm white. I don't know how many times I've been caught, but every time it seems like I go to court, it's like, well, it's his first offense. Yeah, in this county. We'll be back.